Just south of Washington, D.C., a long, sinuous road runs by the Potomac River on the way to Mount Vernon, the home of George Washington. A paved footpath along the river, bordered by flowering trees, is always full of people walking, running, and biking. It's so pretty, you could be forgiven for not noticing the turnoff that leads to another historic site. Fort Hunt Road takes you to the heart of a remarkable community, the embodiment of a dream that began 50 years ago. It's called Holland Hills, and it was born of a collaboration between a developer named Robert Davenport and an architect named Charles Goodman. One of the residents who appreciates the design of Holland Hills is Gregory Hunt, himself an architect, who has lived here since 1985.
The earliest landscape architect, and I'm paraphrasing his quote, said, "I want to discourage people from having walls and fences, any kind of a physical barrier that would say, this is my property, in favor of trying to have the property lines merge one to the next." So you envisioned yourself, you sort of saw yourself as though you're living in a park. And as you look at the house next door, there's really no separation of properties here. The ground cover simply eases up and joins ours to our neighbors. And one does really envision this as just an open piece of property, heavily treed, nicely rolling terrain, that's just simply presenced by these houses that are tucked within the rolling contours. It's really quite an ingenious site plan.
It's also a radical idea, and many people listening to this would say, what? I can't tell where my property ends and my neighbor's begins, and what about fighting over the wall and the ivy and the tree, and who owns that tree?
Well, there are some people that have built fences, and they haven't been looked upon too favorably in this community. And even people that would choose to put different siding on their houses and to have raised panel doors and something like that, it's really not appropriate, I think, for most of these houses. But let's go up the hill.
1949 saw a building boom in the U.S. as people began spreading out from the cities and developing new suburbs. But Davenport and Goodman envisioned a different kind of suburb, one that completely integrated houses into the landscape. Unlike most developers, they didn't raise trees, they built around them. Greg Hunt says the original designers worked with the land rather than against it.
So this is a nice vantage point to see. Goodman actually had, you notice that the roof slopes are very low. They're not highly pitched. There was a technical reason for that. He wanted the houses to look as though they were sliding through the trees.
And they do, giving access to nature physically and visually. Goodman designed five basic models or units, from one and two-story houses to split levels, that could be modified according to different people's tastes. Then, from those original five, 57 adaptations were born. All the houses made use of concepts we now think of as progressive, such as site orientation to capture or deflect sunlight. Some walls are huge panes of glass. Every house has a brick fireplace. Wood, stone, and aluminum are building materials. Light pours into these houses, yet they're situated to provide maximum privacy as well. Developer Robert Davenport, says Greg Hunt, thought of just about everything.
He would sell a potential homeowner a lot, anywhere from $1,800 to $3,000. Then they would sign a contract for a house, and then would pay incrementally, so that with the deposit and the money for the land, it gave Davenport as a developer some working capital. It was really rather interesting. He then tried to use the same financial package to even include contemporary furnishings, and he tried to get that part of the financial package as well. Goodman was always thinking about diversity and choice because he felt that certain families may be attracted to the smaller house first, but then could graduate up to a larger house as they got older and made more income. So he envisioned people simply jumping from house to house, if you will, within the community.
But not everyone moved into different houses as their families grew. Just a short stroll from Greg Hunt's home is one of the first houses to have been built in Holland Hills. Kitty Jansen has lived here since 1949.
I see. Hi, Kitty. You're getting your daily walk.
How are you?
Fine.
Good to see you.
Okay.
The interior of Kitty Jansen's house is as eye-catching as its exterior. On the parquet floors sit two Eames chairs, their burnished wood and glossy leather looking as new as they must have in the 1950s. A pale wood dining room table is surrounded by four chairs that look almost like musical instruments. They're called string chairs. The backs and seats are vertically strung with fiber. In fact, Kitty Jansen's entire house looks a little like the set of The Dick Van Dyke Show. But Kitty was in this house years before that show went on the air.
So tell me what it was like when you and your husband moved into this house. Mm. What did you know about the community? What did you think of the houses?
The houses were very basic. The community attracted people who, I guess I'd have to say, were progressive in thought. They were looking for something different, and this was very unique in the Washington area at that time. I guess there is a character here. I remember reading a long time ago that you become part of a community and you help to establish the character of that community. And I think really it's the common thread that weaves through. You'd be surprised how many people who grew up here as youngsters will come back 20 years later and they come in and talk to you.
After her husband died, Mrs. Jansen took up piano lessons. Her piano sits on a smooth slate floor, part of an addition she and her husband constructed many years ago. Walls of glass surround her. She looks almost as if she's playing in the trees. To see photos of Holland Hills, visit our website at npr.org.